It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a look at a massive pharmaceutical company merger and what it means for corporate taxes here in the United States.
First, there's been a lot of back and forth lately over the endangered species status of the gray wolf in the Western Great Lakes region. Efforts to remove endangered species protections have been challenged in courts, and there's currently legislation co-sponsored by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson to delist the wolf and prevent court challenges. And over the last few weeks, two groups of conservationists have written letters for and against delisting.
Last week, we heard from one of the authors of the letter wanting to keep endangered species status for the gray wolf. Our next guest makes the case for delisting. Certified wildlife biologist Adrian Wideven joins us now. He's the Timber Wolf Alliance coordinator and former State Department of Natural Resources wolf biologist. Adrian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, can you spell out the basic case that it's time to take the gray wolf off of the endangered species list?
Sure. But let me first say that my opinions will be my own as a wildlife biologist and do not represent the opinions of the Timber Wolf Alliance or Northland College, where I currently work. And the case is that wolves have recovered across this region. The population has grown from probably 600-700 wolves at the time that they were listed in 1974 to nearly 4,000 wolves living across the region. They're occupying most of the heavily forested areas in northern Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. That population is pretty much separated from any other wolf population across the country, except they are connected to the Canadian population. The population is healthy. The states, while there may be some objections to some of the management that are being done by the states, the state plans are keeping the wolf population at healthy levels and not allowing populations to slip anywhere near to an extent that they would need to be relisted as an endangered species. So we feel the populations have, this population has recovered, and it's time for them to be removed from the endangered species list and be managed as a state wildlife species.
Without those federal protections and then under the laws of the various states, what kind of protections would remain in place?
Well, the states all have wolves as a protected species yet. There would only be opportunities certain times of the year and with certain permits that people would be able to kill wolves. So basically, they remain a protected species, but under a different status and with more flexible controls in place. Landowners who have problems with livestock would be able to shoot wolves that are attacking their pets or livestock on their land. And they could get permits from the DNR if they are having regular depredations on their land to kill any wolf that's coming on their land and risking attacks on their animals. If they're going to hunt wolves, they have to apply for permits, and there's usually only a limited number of permits that are issued, and a limited hunting season, and a quota that keeps the population at certain levels and prevents it from falling to too low levels that they would need to, again, be relisted. So there are lots of different mechanisms in place to protect wolves beyond just endangered species listing.
Now, your colleagues in the conservation community who signed that other letter we mentioned aren't as confident in state ability to protect gray wolves. They might say, even if things look good now, politicians could be subject to pressure. Maybe it's from hunting groups, maybe it's from farming groups that would lead ultimately to too much hunting, maybe not enough habitat protection, could take this good situation we're in now and turn it back to the way things were before endangered species protections came into place.
Well, we do know that Wisconsin did have a fairly aggressive hunting season on wolves, and they were hunted for the 3 years that they were delisted. But during that time period, the population only declined by 10%. And we do see that, yeah, there may be at times that certain legislators, certain politicians are less favorable toward wolves. But in general, the kind of plans the states have in place, they provide high enough levels of protection that we don't see the likeliness of this population again becoming endangered in the foreseeable future. One of the issues that this other group also has is the concept of where wolves should be delisted. And we believe that the distinct population segment of wolves that lives across the Great Lakes region, that group has biologically recovered. Now, in our letter, we don't say anything about whether wolves have recovered across the whole country. And comments are occasionally made that, well, they've only recovered in 10-15% of their range in the rest of the United States. So therefore they shouldn't be delisted in the Great Lakes region. Well, that to me is sort of two different stories and two different issues, that whether wolves should be delisted in other parts of the country, we don't make any comments on that, and many of us would agree there are other places in the U.S. we would like to see wolves recover. But we believe within the Great Lakes region that population has recovered, and there isn't a lot left over in the Great Lakes where these wolves can spread to. So at this point, they're pretty much occupying this areas of suitable range, and no longer in need of the kind of protection Endangered Species Act provides.
Talking to wildlife biologist Adrian Weideven about gray wolves and their endangered species status in the western Great Lakes region, that includes us here in Wisconsin. He's saying that the numbers are recovered enough that they don't need that level of federal protection anymore. Adrian, some people might say, why not err on the side of caution, keep them on there? What's the harm of keeping those protections in place?
Well, some of the things we're already seeing is that just an erosion in attitudes toward wolves and toward the Endangered Species Act. Within areas where wolves are occurring right now in Wisconsin, we're seeing a constant decline in attitudes toward wolves. And during the periods that we see wolves being listed, we see an increase in illegal killing of wolves, generally about twice as high when the federal government lists wolves as then when the state lists them. So we're seeing more resentment toward the Endangered Species Act, more resentment toward wolves, and just making for a very difficult management situation. The wolves themselves are doing fine. They're not going to disappear from the landscape, but creating a management system that's more receptive to wolves and creating better tolerance toward wolves and providing the kind of tools so we can manage the population at the same time maintain a healthy population of wolves on the landscape.
The authors of that other dueling letter say, hey, we've seen some surveys of people. We're not seeing that kind of resentment of wolves. How do you see that resentment playing out? How do you see the evidence of that popular resentment of wolves under the endangered species protections?
Well, I think in part, when we see a doubling of illegal killing, that suggests to me a level of resentment, but also the attitude surveys that have been done in Wisconsin in areas of wolf range, we're seeing that attitudes are continuing to decline during this time period that wolves are going on again and off again the endangered species list. And for many of us that have signed our letter, many of us have been working very directly with wolf recovery, wolf management over years. We've talked to a lot of members of the public. We hear from people, and we hear these kind of comments and resentment toward the Endangered Species Act and toward wolf management and toward wolves themselves. And so we're seeing a lot of that, and we're hearing a lot of that. And so we feel there is lots of evidence that there's a decline in wolf attitudes, and it's continued to decline as they keep getting listed, and the tools for managing the wolf population are not being made available.
Do you see the story of the gray wolf under the Endangered Species Act as a success story for the way that act works?
We do, and several of us published a book along those lines a few years ago that we felt the recovery of wolves in the Great Lakes region has been a major success story. Just during my tenure in the wolf program in Wisconsin, when I started in 1990, we counted 34 wolves in Wisconsin that winter. Last year, 750 wolves were counted in Wisconsin in the wintertime, and that's the population at the lowest end of its annual cycle. They probably double into the springtime. So we know there's a very healthy population now, and we think that it's time to celebrate that the recovery of that species and move on to the next step, which is the state management of those state wolf population.
Before I let you go, Adrian, you've studied, you've worked on wolf issues for a long time. Clearly, there's a lot of passion from a lot of people from a lot of different perspectives on the wolves. Why is that? Why do we feel so strongly with that, whatever way we feel?
Well, that's maybe the most difficult question, and wolves just seem to engender passion from extremes, that people hate them, people love them, and it doesn't seem like there are a lot of people in between, and it's one of the big challenges of managing for a healthy wolf population. For some people, we probably can never come up with a number to satisfy them is that the population is recovered, and for some other people, any wolf in the landscape are too many. So for us, trying to manage for what we think is a reasonable population that provides ecological benefits and provides the aesthetic benefits that and scientific benefits that wolves provide, we feel that the current numbers are doing that job, and we don't need to keep them listed in order to get a better or more healthy wolf population.
We'll leave it there. Adrian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
That was Adrian Weideven. He's a Timberwolf Alliance coordinator, though he was not speaking for that organization in this interview. He's a certified wildlife biologist and former state DNR wolf biologist.